Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and with me is my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek. Dr. Polacek is a nationally recognized expert spokesperson on mental health and substance abuse use disorder issues. He utilizes his expertise and his experience to lead the Betty Ford Center's outpatient services as its director.
If you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. And if this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more.
Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. And Matt, I want to thank you for covering things last week. I had a chance to listen to the show, and as usual, you did a great job.
Oh, thanks, Alan.
All right. Well, it is great to be back working together. It is always more fun when we're both here in studio. Now, our guest today is Richard Arum. Richard is the after-school program director and summer camp director at the Best in Class Education Center in Bellevue, Washington.
Prior to moving to Seattle, Richard worked in schools all around the Boston area where he taught drama, technology, and humanities. He's worked with students from pre-kindergarten to 12th grade in independent and public schools, after-school programs, and summer camps.
Now, as an actor, Richard has toured around New England performing educational theater for and with students of all ages. Richard received his bachelor's degree in theater arts and a minor in English from Clark University, and he did his graduate study in theater education at Emerson College in Boston.
Richard has been with the Best in Class Education Center for just over 3 years. First to take over the new after-school program, and then at the helm of the summer camp once the school year ended. Richard, a warm welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it is great to have you, and one of the things that that I thought of as soon as we knew we were going to have you on the show was thinking back to the time when I was in school and the things that I did during the summer. And in comparing that to then what children today do, and I realized that it's certainly different. I can remember, just being glad that, my parents, they went off to work, and we would jump on our bike, and we would spend the whole day outside figuring out things to do. Now, obviously, that's changed quite a bit, because even with my own children, everything became a lot more structured, and you found special camps, or you set up summer school, a computer program, but it seemed like there was always something that we were trying to do to keep them busy. So it seems like what you've done is you've now taken that to a level and really done some things that are helping a lot of kids out there. So share with us a little bit about Best in Class Education Center and what you're doing to help young people.
Yeah, well, like you said, there are now so many opportunities and options for children in the summertime. And like you said, when a lot of us were kids, we were just in the neighborhoods, riding our bikes or looking for things to do. And there's certainly, I think, some merit to some of that unstructured play. But there's also just such a variety of great programs available. So at the Best in Class Education Center, so we don't offer summer camp at all of our locations. Here in Washington State, we have about 10 locations, but we only offer the summer camp at one of our locations. And we are an academic-based program. We're an academic-based camp because our business, we are open year-round. And we offer all sorts of educational programs. We do math and English enrichment classes. We do private tutoring. We have an after-school program. We do test prep classes. So we try to do a little bit of everything. But during the summer, it is summer. The kids do want to have fun. But, you know, we want to make sure they're staying, their minds are staying sharp. They're still working on their academics. So our program, I think, does a nice job of marrying the two things, where we do focus on academics, but we're also, it's a fun atmosphere. So we do partner with a lot of other programs, give the kids a lot of different options of what they can do at our camp. So they spend half of the day working with us on their academics, and we do our math and English enrichment packets that we offer year-round. And then this year we're also adding a couple of science lessons, a couple of social studies lessons, kind of rounding out the curriculum a little bit. And then we partner with a lot of other local programs, so kids in the afternoon, they can take chess, they can take table tennis, they can take kung fu or art or computer programming. So we have a lot of options to kind of give them a nice balance.
It sounds like the young kids can really kind of choose a route they want while still getting basic, you know, the basic education and the kind of core curriculum that you guys have always offered. You know, we're in a big city here in LA, and I know Washington's got a lot of big cities. One of the kind of things that really drew me to the program is that you guys utilize a lot of nature and a lot of kind of outside activities as educational tools. Is that something that's always happened or something more recent?
I think it's not so much a part of our program, but more of things that we like to share with our families when looking for things to do, other ways outside of just our curriculum, other ways to keep the kids engaged and keep them occupied and keep their minds working over the summer. And here in Washington State, we're blessed with some just incredible nature around here. Seattle's a wonderful, wonderful city, and very quickly you can get out of the city and we have mountains, we have ocean, we have forests. You go further enough out, there's desert. You go further enough out in the other direction, we have rainforest here. So there's an incredible amount of nature to explore. So we really encourage our families to be able to go out and do that and explore the nature, but also you know, go use the library as a great resource and take out some nature guides. You know, learn about the wildlife that we have in this area. There's incredible wildlife. Even in the city, you can be in Seattle and see a bald eagle. You can see orcas. You know, I don't know what exactly wildlife you have down in L.A., but I know down there you have some incredible nature, too, when you get, you know, not too far out of the city into the mountains or out into the ocean.
Now, Richard, share with some of our listeners, especially some of the parents, the look on a child's face or the comments that a child makes that's maybe been raised in inner city, you know, that has lived in such an inner city lifestyle that these things are so new to them. Share some of the comments and some of the things that you've seen with these young people.
It's pretty incredible when a kid does connect with the natural world in a way that they hadn't before, or makes a discovery that they hadn't made before. Particularly if, like I said, you know, you get one of those nature guides or something like that, and they learn about something, they have such an investment in it. So if they've learned, say you're going to on a nature walk and you know that there's certain plant life that's going to be growing there, or wild mushrooms or a bird that lives in that area, and they make that discovery, the connection they feel with it, that they have this investment in it, that the excitement about making that connection is so much stronger. And it's just really fascinating. It's really incredible just to see the child's face light up when they can find that connection to the natural world.
And to me, it seems like what you're doing is melding basically science and other stuff into nature and basically building educational tools out of, for instance, the guidebooks and stuff like that. Are there other kind of areas in nature or in kind of, quote, real life situations where, you know, you would see as an excellent opportunity to use as educational tools?
Well, I think also if we're not going out deep into the natural world, just here in the city itself, you know, if you have a garden at your home, or there are many places in the city, and I know LA has this too, where there are community gardens where you can have a little pea patch, you know, and you can have your own little garden, and that's an incredible way to pair science with nature and with just living, you know, life skills. You know, if they, you can see how a plant grows. You can learn about, you know, you can get as technical about it as you want. You can really dig into the photosynthesis and everything that goes into it, so the plants producing their own food and their respiration and everything. Or you can just see, like, just observing, taking this seed and watching it grow, adding the water to it, and then being able to eat the food that you, that you've grown from it. So just being able to follow through that life process of a plant, that's another amazing thing that even if you can't, if you don't have the means to get out of the city, because I know, you know, some people can't travel or it's difficult, families can't get off work, but there are some of these smaller things in local parks, community gardens, even to just go and observe. If you don't have your own little plot in a community garden, just seeing what other people are growing, you know, watching them work the soil. That's another great way to connect the science to the nature.
Yeah, and Richard, I noticed when we were looking at your website and learning more about Best in Class that you even talked a little bit about using the kitchen, you know, as a playground to help children's education. Share a little bit about how you can bring them into the kitchen and make that fun, and yet at the same time turn it into an education.
Absolutely. Well, in a couple ways. First of all, just being able to be creative in the kitchen. I think any sort of chance a child can be creative, and cooking is certainly a way for them to do that, to explore flavors and smells and the way things combine. So just having that creativity to do that is one thing. And also being able to look at it as an art, you know, making visually something to look at, a salad with different colors and vegetables and things like that. So there's that creative element to it. And then there's pairing it with, like I already said, the garden. You know, you're growing your vegetables, and then you're able to use them in the preparation. But also, if you want to get more technical, there are great ways to incorporate math in what you're doing in the kitchen, you know, with recipes, with, you know, depending how old your child is. If it's a younger child, sort of basic arithmetic you can do, counting things out, how many, you know, how many pieces of carrot are we putting in, let's count them out. So you can use that to sort of strengthen their core arithmetic skills. But if they're a little more advanced, maybe you're doing some baking, you can be talking about fractions. You know, this recipe calls for a half of a cup of flour. We can, you know, let's find the half a cup thing. What does that mean? We could break it down further. Maybe we could do 3/4 of a cup. Does that equal a half of a cup? You know, breaking down the fractions that way. So you can make it as complex or as simple based on, you know, your student, your child's age, based on their abilities.
And it sounds like really this is minimal effort for the parents listening, but it goes a long way. And something you said in your last speaking point was about creativity. And to me, you know, creating an environment and empowering our kids to be creative is critical. Are there other ideas that you could share with our listeners that really does boost creativity for their kids?
Well, there's so many. This is really a bit of a passion for me. I, as you mentioned in my intro, I'm an actor and I have a theater background, and the arts are just, I think, so vitally, vitally important. Beyond just as artists, just being able to be creative in any art field just strengthens us in so many ways, you know. Particularly, I do, you know, I have a bias towards the theater, but all forms of the arts strengthen our abilities to do so much, you know, music and painting and dance, movement and theater. So I definitely think that's something that's vital to strengthen their creativity and also their critical thinking, being able to, you know, literature, for instance, be able to analyze literature or look deeper into things. So I have a lot of activities I can go into, we can talk about for creative activities. But I think in terms of resources for families, I know in Seattle here, and I'm sure, again, it's the same in L.A., there's so many, in the summertime, so many arts opportunities, free arts opportunities also, outdoor theater festivals, outdoor music festivals, which are something that are invaluable, I think, to take advantage of, to go and see, to be a part of, to experience those things. And then being able to do some of these things on your own. I think it's important to see theater, important to see live music, important to go to museums. I know certain museums will probably offer different discounted programs for the summertime. It's important to see these things, but then also to experience them yourselves, to be creative, be creating art, creating music, creating drama, and we can talk more deeply about that.
And
I think an important thing, a role for parents in exploring those arts, and when you go to see a play or go even to see a movie or something like that, is to engage the child afterwards with critical thinking questions about what they just experienced. I think that enriches the experience, makes the child think a little more deeply about it. You know, you could just, rather than say, you know, it's easy to say, oh, how was that? Did you like it? Oh, good. Let's move on. But to really talk a little more deeply about it. What did you like about it? What was it or didn't like about it? Why, you know, if you see a play, why did this character make that choice, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would happen? Imagine if this character made a different choice. What would have happened, do you think? What could have been, you know, what would have been the next outcome? If you were that character, what choice would you have made? So really getting the child to think a little more empathetically about other characters. I think that's a vital thing, and it's an opportunity you want to be able to take advantage of sort of soon after experiencing something.
Yeah, and I think what you're touching on is communication. You're going into all of these different ways in which parents can communicate with their child. And I know even from the standpoint of when mine were young, one of the things that we did was, you know, instead of just saying, you know, how was your day at school? And they'd go, oh, it was fine. You know, instead it was, so what were the three most interesting things that you did at school today? What was, you know, and not to use the same question all the time. So the next day was, what were the two most exciting things that you did? You know, or who was the most interesting person that you met or spoke to today? So, you know, I agree with you. If rather than just asking a simple question that allows them to give a yes or no answer, to get them to talk about the characters or talk about, you know, so much more, because it makes them think. And the more they think, the more they're going to start expressing their opinion. The more they express their opinion, the more they realize, I kind of like this. I want to do this. And, you know, for all of us, that's part of growth.
And it also, you know, then they are less likely to just sort of take things for granted. Like you see, or just, you know, this was the plot of the movie, this is what happened, this was the plot of that, that's how it was. Okay, that's it, all wrapped up in a sealed box. But let's think a little more deeply. Why did it have to be that way? You know, let's think a little bit about it. And then they can maybe extrapolate that to their own lives. You know, why are things this way? Let's look a little more deeply. How did things become this way? You know, if they're learning a history lesson in school, history can often just seem like, you know, oh, this is the story and this is what it was and that's it. But maybe look a little more deeply. Why did this person do that? What were the circumstances?
So in saying that, you mentioned movies, and a lot of time, you know, during the summer, there's these big blockbuster movies that come out, and I always, as a parent, sometimes feel somewhat guilty sending my child, you know, to and putting them in front of a screen. But what I hear you saying is, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing if it's followed up by some critical thinking and some discussion and, you know, some exploration.
Right. I think it is important to find that balance, to strike the balance. You know, you certainly, I think, want to limit screen time. You know, it's very easy to spend your whole summer in front of a screen, and I certainly am not encouraging that. You know, I think we want to find that balance. But I also don't want to vilify technology and everything. I think it can be a useful tool. And even in the summer, if it's something, you know, it is for entertainment value, I think you can go a little more deeper with things. You know, if you're going to the big budget movie, whatever, if you're going to see the new Ghostbusters remake or whatever it is, you know, you can still talk about what, you know, what is happening in it. You can go over, talk about the plot structure. You can talk about, you know, what was the climax of the film, what was the denouement, you know, the falling action. You can talk about these things. Who were the characters? Who was the protagonist, the antagonist? What was their motive? You know, what were their intentions? You know, you can still, even in something you know, that maybe not be as, that you wouldn't think of as being as intellectually challenging, you can still use it as a platform to dig a little deeper, I think.
Now, Richard, we're at a time over the last probably 6 or 8 years in which many of us know that public schools have cut budgets, and in cutting budgets, the theater department is one of the ones that seems to always get hit the hardest. Share a little bit about some of the benefits that many of the people out there wouldn't recognize right away, or they wouldn't normally think of, from the standpoint of being involved in a production, rather than just watching it, but literally being involved in it, and the things that it does in helping from the standpoint of public speaking, or working as a team, or building a set, all of the things that maybe a lot of people and those people making these decisions haven't thought of. Share a little bit about some of those benefits.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right, and I'm a firm believer in arts education, all arts education. I think it is a vital part of any child's education, but particularly the theater is a unique art form in which anyone can get involved. You know, I had a professor once in college who said, you know, if you go see, an orchestra play, you're just like blown away by what they can do, and you can't imagine yourself doing it. You go see a ballet or a contemporary dance performance, it's just incredible what these people are able to do with their bodies. You go to a museum and look at these incredible paintings, it just looks like you couldn't imagine it. But you see a play, you see people up there talking, interacting, and you think, I could do that. And I think that's true. I think every person has it within themselves to do that, to be a part of the theater. And it involves so many aspects of the human experience. So like you said, just having the experience of public speaking, so to get up in front of people, that's such a vital skill to have. So people going, you know, students going through a theater class or being a part of a production, they're not going to go on to become professional actors, but they're going to have that experience of being in front of people, of being able to speak in front of people. That's just one small piece of it. They will have the experience of connecting with their peers in a way that you really can't in any other form, I don't think. When you work on a production and you're together with a group of people working towards a common goal, making that production as the best that it can be, there's a bond to a cast and crew that I've never really felt anywhere else. I suppose it can be a similar parallel. It would be a sports team. Mm-hmm. If you're performing with a team and you get that bond and that connection with those people because you're working together towards that common goal. The same thing happens in the theater and when you work on a production. And if you are working on the crew, if you're building sets or painting sets or hanging lights or doing any of those other aspects, those are incredible skills as well. And I think another vitally important element to theater education is students are learning interpersonal skills and intrapersonal skills, being able to connect with another person. When you are taking on a character and you're on stage and you're speaking with another character and your job is to listen to that other person, to listen to that other character and respond and react with genuine emotion, that is a huge skill to have, to be able to, on the one hand, empathize with another person, become another character, and see the world through their eyes, but then also having to listen to someone else on stage and respond genuinely to what they're saying. That's hugely important. So that's interpersonal skills. Intrapersonal skills is really connecting with who you are, is finding yourself. And I think for a child to be able to learn those skills is immensely important, particularly in this day and age where we are in many ways very isolated. In many ways we are connected into our technology. So to have those skills, to be able to empathize and connect with another person is is very vital.
Yeah, as you were saying that, and I thought you were going to say, as we're being bombarded by everyone else out there telling us what we should be or who we should be, it's a great way for them to find themselves. Completely agree. We're going to take a break. Please have everybody stay with us. And for those of you, if you want to follow along, you can open up another window. If you're at your computer, go to bestinclasseducation.com. You can follow along with us. But stay with us because we will be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
We are back with Richard Arum. From Best in Class Education. So, Richard, I was sitting with my wife at dinner towards the beginning of summer, and we were discussing my child who's in elementary school, and we were looking at some of our friends who have kind of pushed their children into pretty intensive summer school classes. And we had the discussion really on this kind of concept of, do they lose it over the 3-month summer period, which I'm sure you're familiar with. I'm kind of curious where you stand on that.
Well, there is, certainly some, I don't know if regression might be a little stronger word, but there definitely is some skills that will wane over the summer if not kept up with. I personally, however, sort of do like to find that balance between focusing on, keeping up some of their core educational standards, but also being able to have fun in the summer. I think children definitely learn through play. I think a lot of free time and fun time has been slowly, weeded out of a lot of our children's schedules. Recesses have been cut down or eliminated in some cases, So I think the summertime is an important time for them to be kids, to have fun, to do the things that they don't get to do during the school year. I used to go to an overnight summer camp when I was a child where, we would be outside and playing and doing sports and crafts and singing and, all the things you would do at summer camp. And I think that's important to have that balance. So I think academics, keeping up with the academics in the summertime is very important. However, I am of the opinion that you need to find the middle ground. So if the child just focusing, studying and learning for their entire, all day, every day, like I think it's just, it can be too much. It's harder. A child's brain sort of needs break time to process what they've learned and to be able to function more creatively.
Now, Richard, we have a listener question that touches on the subject that we're talking about right now, and it reads, I noticed last week's show touched on how unprepared many of our youth are at taking charge of their lives. Does your program provide any support for applying academic subjects to real-world skills like math for balancing a checkbook or reading and writing to applications needed in a workforce?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that that listener is absolutely right that, I think it goes beyond just the academics. I think in a lot of ways children have been are a little less and less prepared for the real world. Our curriculum does touch on a lot of things. We have a very broad curriculum, so our math packets do cover a lot of real world mathematical applications. Our English packets cover a lot of range of things as well. They cover, each packet will cover some reading comprehension, which is very important, being able to read a text and understand it and answer critical questions about it, and that's a very important life skill. But it also covers vocabulary and punctuation and grammar and sort of all of those things, which I think can all be applicable to real-life situations.
You know, as I think about my daughter in elementary school and I think about my own experience in the school system, I think about where your relationship to the school and feeling like you can be successful. And I think that has a lot to do with whether you enjoy school or you don't enjoy school. And to me, it seems as though best-in-class education gives kids a leg up, per se, or a sense of, you know, self-confidence going into the school year or during the school year with the additional support. Is that kind of the intention?
Yeah, and I think one thing that's really important about our program, and I think is one of the reasons we are so successful, is that the material that each child is given is geared specifically towards that child. Each student takes an assessment test before they begin any of our programs in math and English. So even if you're in a classroom with a few other students, you're each might be working on something completely different, because we want to meet the students where they are. So, you know, it's not, we're not just for the students that are, you know, accelerating and their schoolwork isn't, you know, challenging enough for them. We certainly have many students who fit that description, but we also have many students who need extra support. Maybe their schoolwork is a little too challenging for them, and they need a little extra support. They need a little extra, they need some extra work in some of the more basic things that maybe they're not getting in the schoolwork. So we meet students on the entire spectrum of ability, and I think that's important. Like I said, we are pushing the kids who don't feel they're getting pushed enough in school. And when that happens, kids can, you know, zone out and they get bored and they're not interested. And so some students need a lot of extra push. They need stronger academics. They need more challenging work, and we can give that to them. But then, as I said, there are other students that are struggling in school, and they need a little extra help. They need a little extra support, and we're able to give them that, and everyone in between. So I don't think, you know, we're not geared towards any one end of that spectrum.
Well, we have another listener question and comment. And again, we want to thank the listeners that take the time. I know that this is in the middle of the day, and we've had teachers that have sent in questions that say that they appreciate getting the press release ahead of time because they get to send in a question that they wouldn't normally get to ask during the day. So again, we thank them for taking the time for doing that. Now, this question reads, I see that you are expanding your organization around the country. Does this include the summer camp program as well? I blog on educational resources for parents, primarily in the homeschooling category. As a mother of three middle to early high schoolers, I find this topic to be a very important one. No one understands this better than I do, the challenge of finding engaging summer activities that also have a learning component to them. I have never heard of your group, so I am very much looking forward to hearing more about Best in Class overall. And that's from Jocelyn in New Mexico. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. We don't do summer camps specifically at all of our locations. So let me just say for your listeners where we are located. So we're based in Seattle. So our founder and CEO, he started the company here in Seattle, and we now have 10 locations in Western Washington. And we have franchised out locations in Oregon. Forgive me if I don't get all of them, but I know in Oregon we have several locations, several around California, many in Texas. Those are sort of the biggest three other states. But we also have, I believe, locations in Ohio and New Jersey, and we're ever expanding. So most centers when they open up, don't start right away with a summer camp. However, our enrichment classes, math and English enrichment classes, go year-round. So even if you didn't have a summer camp option where you are, and I don't believe we have anything in New Mexico right now, and I don't know. We could very well have something in the works. That's not my side of the business. But that's possible that we could expand it. I'm not sure. But our locations do offer the enrichment classes year round. So the way the structure works is it's a once a week class. It's a 75. You could do a 75 minute math class, 75 minute English class, or you could do both. And the way it works, you get a packet, and you have a teacher there that will go through the packet with you and do a couple of problems on each page with you so you understand all the concepts in the packet. And then you take that packet home with you for homework. So the students that are here doing our summer camp, they're here every day, and they work on their packet a little bit every morning before doing other activities. But the enrichment students will take it home, and they can work on it for homework. They bring it back the next week. They'll get a test on that packet to make sure they understood all the concepts in that packet. So even if the location near you doesn't offer a summer camp, because not all of them do, we do have our classes year-round.
Now, for those that are not in one of those cities, is there an online component to it, to where they can get the packets online and they can still complete them and send them in?
We don't have them available online. To be honest, I don't know if that's something that they're considering adding. That's certainly an interesting question. I would have to ask some of the other folks in the office about that, if that's something that they're considering. But at this point, we don't have our materials available online. No.
And as far as the assessment, so they come in and they gauge where they're at, the kids and young adults. And then is there a follow-up assessment to kind of see where their progress is?
The initial assessment test, yeah, just to see what materials that, you know, where they are, what they know, what they're struggling with, what areas they need support in. And then we give them the material to be reassessed. I think it's in at least 6 months.
All right. You know what? I think we're having some technical difficulties. So we may need to give a call back. So in the meantime, I think that we will take a quick little break. I think he just started to come back. So I think our engineer may come in. He may get our guest back on. In the meantime, Matt, you were talking about in regards to your daughter. What are some of the things that the schools are doing to help keep the parents engaged?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of different programs, and I guess at the end of the day, cost is really what people have to determine and what their available resources are. The schools offer a very low rate in the elementary schools in Los Angeles, quote, camp, which I think does have some enrichment activities and some curriculum-based stuff. But at the same time, you know, every camp is different. The thing that interests me really was the theater arts that was mentioned, in getting your kid into some sort of a play of some sort.
Okay.
The other road, obviously, is sports and sport, you know, summer sporting events. Hello. And stuff like that. I think we have him back.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Hello.
So,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Unfortunately, we had a bit of a technical difficulty.
Okay. I was able to hear you, so I didn't realize we were having a technical difficulty.
Okay. So, it was just on your end, I think. So, Matt was just talking a little bit about as far as sports and other, you know, after school type of activities. So it sounds like what you're doing is you're sort of blending with some of the things that the schools are also offering.
Yes. Sorry. Can you just repeat what he was talking about?
Well, I was discussing really what's available during the summer, and you know, your comments got us thinking creatively of how can we be in the best interest of our kids. And really, it sounds like the best in class education really builds in just traditional curriculum, life skills, math, science, and so as an you know, an additional program, adding on, you know, some sort of a sport or doing the things that you had mentioned, whether it gardening, kitchen skills, going out into the community. As a parent, it's almost our responsibility to fill in the other parts.
Yeah, I think, well, as I mentioned earlier, we have some other, you know, in addition to our academics, we partner with some other programs. So we have, you know, other options of chess or table tennis or kung fu and art and computer programs. So we have those options as well. But again, there are, you know, you could also do, with our programs, we have a half-day option. So you could just do, come to us in the mornings to do the academics, and then you have the day free to either participate in another program. Because, again, the variety of summer camp offerings is really can be overwhelming, but it's pretty remarkable how many options there are out there. And I know a lot of programs you can do on a week-to-week basis. So you could do a week of a drama camp, and you could do a week of baseball camp or something like that, kind of get a rounded education. But I know that can get a little pricey for some folks. So taking advantage of programs at the public library, or sometimes, you know, the local zoos or aquariums might have different programs that you can be a part of, or science centers. Here in Seattle, we have the Pacific Science Center, we have Woodland Park Zoo, we have the Seattle Aquarium, you know, and they all offer some programs. And another thing that I want to mention about taking advantage of some of those programs, like a zoo or an aquarium, kind of along the same lines we were talking earlier about nature and hiking. Another idea for a project to sort of get a child invested is, say you're going to the zoo or the aquarium, and you know an animal that's at that facility. Say there's a shark that you know of that lives in your local aquarium. Well, do some research beforehand on that shark. Do a little project. You know, go to the library, take out some books on the shark, maybe draw a picture of the shark, maybe learn a little bit more about the shark. So when you go to see that animal, you have that investment in it, and that the excitement about it is that much stronger. We mentioned that earlier with some of the nature hikes and exploring the nature, and I think it's the same thing can happen there. You can take advantage of the public library and be able to use that knowledge to create a stronger investment in your education at the aquarium.
Now, I'm smiling because I can remember doing something like that, I think, when my kids were 3 and 5. And then afterwards, getting home and having them comment to their mother and go, "Wow, Mom, Dad knows everything." And I just had a big smile. It's a good thing that I read up on it ahead of time, because I wouldn't have known all those things. We went to the Long Beach Aquarium, and the fact that I could make comments about the sharks or the other types of fish. So yeah, see, there's another benefit, parents. Your parents will actually think you're smart.
Yeah, you could be a know-it-all. They'll respect you for it.
You know, it's just this quest and love of learning that obviously that we can teach our kids. And it sounds, you know, like this program is an excellent venue for that. For you, you know, I guess the future is spreading across the country and kind of making more programs available to more people?
That's the goal. I know we've had some pretty terrific growth in the past couple of years, expanding the program, expanding the company, and I know we have some pretty strong goals for the next couple of years of where we want to expand to. Yeah.
Now, and again, for those that didn't hear it earlier, if you go to the website, if you go to it's bestinclasseducation.com, so Richard, would it be safe to say that information will also be on the website? So if somebody is in, you know, they're in Kentucky going, "God, this sounds great. I would love to have this, but where's the closest one to me?"
All of our locations, if you go to bestinclasseducation.com, there's a locations tab that lists all the locations. And, you know, another thing I'll say, if this is something that you're passionate about and you, you know, are an educator or have an education background or something you're interested in, I know that you know, there are franchising opportunities if you wanted to run your own center, like if this was something that you were passionate about. I know that's something, you know, that's also out there.
Oh, that's a great idea, where that, you know, they can, you know, somebody who wants to start something, they can partner with, you know, with best in class, so to speak, so that they can gain the benefit and maybe not have to go through some of the learning curve pains that some of us go through when you try to start a new business.
Right, right. And I don't handle that side of the business. I run the after school program and I run the summer camp, so I don't handle the franchising element of it. But I know that it's a very supportive company, so I know that when there are franchisees that open a location in another state, you know, the team that we have in our office here is so incredible and so supportive. And the franchisees come out here and they get trained and learned all about it. And it's really, we have a real family atmosphere in this company, and I think that extends out to the franchisees that are around the country.
What was, when you started taking over the summer camp, what is there a story or two that kind of jumped out that made you happy or glad that was a decision you made to kind of expand your own personal growth?
Well, I've worked at summer camps pretty much my whole life, of all different, you know, styles. I've worked at schools, I've worked in after-school programs, doing everything from, you know, being a substitute teacher, being a drama teacher, I've taught technology, I've just worked in after-school programs. There was one school that I used to work at that I was sort of a jack-of-all-trades. You know, I would help out in the kitchen sometimes if they needed it. I would substitute for different classes. I was, you know, I'd help out in the first grade classroom. I ran a seventh grade reading group. I helped direct the plays. You know, so I did a little bit of everything at the school. So one thing that I really relished and really embraced coming to best in class education was being able to be the director of the program, to be able to run the after school program, to be able to run the summer camp. So I was able to take sort of all my experience from all the different settings that I'd worked in and bring them to the summer camp.
Yeah,
and the after school program.
And we're coming up on just a few more minutes left. I want to take this time first to acknowledge you and to thank you for putting the work in that you do for these young children. It is so important, you know, in this, you know, this day and age of, you know, two parents working and such, to be able to have places where they can continue their education and at the same time have fun. So I want to thank you for that. And the other part is one of the things this show loves to hear, and I think our listeners do as well, is a success story. Some of the success stories that parents maybe don't think about until they hear it from someone like you. So share with us, you know, one or two of your favorite success stories that makes you feel like when you go home and you go, wow, I'm really thankful that I get to do this.
Well, I can think of several things off the top of my head. First of all, thank you very much. I appreciate your kind words, and it's been a pleasure to be here, and I do love what I do. And one thing I do love is bringing a lot of fun and humor into the classroom and into the work that I do with the kids, because I'm not in a traditional classroom setting. I'm seeing kids after school, after they've been in school all day. I'm seeing them in the summer when they're not in school. So I like to pair the humor and the fun with the academics. So that's sort of my goal, and I'm hoping that I'm I'm achieving that. But in terms of success stories, there have been students that I know that I've been coming to best in class since they were, you know, 5 years old, and they are now, you know, in college, and they've you know, talked about how they were able to get ahead in school from coming here. They were able to take advanced classes in high school because of the support they were getting here, and have, you know, started college already a year or two advanced. And that's really, you know, just something pretty special. Here in Washington State, we have something called the COGAT, which is a gifted test, and it's something that it's very competitive, and a lot of families are really take very seriously. And so many of our students that come here and get the support from the education support and then go on to pass this test, and they go on to get placed in these more accelerated programs, and they're just so, you know, parent after parent, family after family comes back and just thanks us for investing in their child. And it's really what it is. You know, we're investing in these children in the future.
Yeah, and Richard, we really want to thank you. You know, you really today have inspired me to think critically, to provide for my own daughter a creative way for her to learn, and hopefully our listeners out there and the parents out there, this is a challenge for them to think about their home environment, their kitchens, their gardens, their yards, and try to implement creative learning environments for their kids and inspire them.
All right,
yeah. So the kids know that learning doesn't stop in the classroom. You know, we're creating lifelong learners.
All right, and again, thank you, Richard, and for everybody out there, please tune in next week when our guest Connie Dunn will discuss the 10 reasons why parents should engage their child in make-believe and how these activities have a critical component to problem solving and become innovative thinkers as adults. And if you want to share our show with your friends, please visit our archives of past shows at answersforthefamily.com. And you may also subscribe or resubmit your name to download your free copy of The Attitude of Gratitude Journal for your 21-day guide to achieving the equality of thankfulness through self-discovery. And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page and check out some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like us and spread the word. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to being with you again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.